out this morning, that the theme for this morning's worship is anxiety and worry and fretting. And I want to begin by telling you about an article that appeared in the Business Insider. It was back in August of 2017. An airline pilot, Patrick Smith, flies 757s, 767s, has noted that the number one anxiety-producing thing that occurs in passengers' lives when they're flying in an airplane, what do you think it is? Turbulence, that's right. It's absolutely turbulence. So much about it seems kind of dangerous and uncertain, doesn't it? But Smith argues that, at least from the perspective of the pilot, turbulence is often nothing more than a nuisance. He says, for all intents and purposes, planes are not going to flip upside down while we're in them. They're not going to go into a tailspin. They're not going to be flung from the sky, even in very strong wind gusts, very strong air pockets. Conditions might be inconvenient and uncomfortable, but the plane is just not going to crash. Turbulence is aggravating nuisance for everybody, including the crew, but it's also just normal. That's just a part of flying, and pilots know that. They know that is just normal. So from a pilot's perspective, it's ordinarily seen as a convenience issue, not a safety issue. And of course, that's assuming that during times of turbulence, you have your seatbelt on as a passenger. Now, you've all flown before. When turbulence is coming, what does the pilot say? Fasten your seatbelt so that you will be safe. But when a flight changes altitude in search of smoother conditions, this is by and large because of comfort issues. The pilots aren't worrying about the wings flying off of the jet. They are simply trying to keep passengers relaxed and everybody's coffee on the fold-down tray in front of you so it doesn't go spilling and flying everywhere. In the worst turbulence, we can probably, passengers probably imagine that in the cockpit, the pilot is sweating profusely. He's got his hands gripped on the controls, and he's barking out orders at the co-pilot and the navigator. But that's really not what occurs, even during turbulence in the cockpit. Well, likely, according to Smith, the pilot, the co-pilot, and the navigator, they deal with the turbulence, but they're probably talking. They're not taking naps, by the way. Hopefully they're not. But they're talking about how good their coffee was in the morning. Worry, fretting, and anxiety are not new to the human condition, are they? Since the fall of humanity in the Garden of Eden, when sin and evil entered into the world, worry and doubt have just been a part of our world. Now, understanding this begs the question, doesn't it? How are we going to respond? How are we going to cope with anxiety, with potential for anxiety and fretting and worry? How are we going to cope with it? Now, of course, we can allow it to dominate our landscape of our lives, which then results, quite frankly, in complicating things. Or there's another, better, simpler way to deal with them. I believe this morning's passage provides very healthy counsel, moving us further down this road to simplicity in our lives, remembering that God has the controls in his hands when the turbulence of life threatens to unnerve us. We're on the downhill side of our series called Simplicity, Recalibrating Life in a Spun-Up World. It has been the thesis of this sermon series to look at the world through the lenses of Scripture, and when we do, whatever the topic, whether it's forgiveness or anxiety, any topic, it will create greater simplicity in our life. What did we talk about last week? Forgiveness. Forgiveness. And we discovered in no uncertain terms that Scripture tells us when we forgive, life becomes simpler. Now, there was a qualifier. Do you remember that? We distinguish between simplicity and we distinguish between difficulty, because it's really difficult to forgive another person, especially when they have hurt us deeply. But when we do, simplicity results, because we don't have bitterness and anger and rage inside of us eating us up like a cancer. We're freed. It's simpler. But when it is a deep hurt, we can't forgive on our own. We need God. Our text this morning, Philippians chapter 4, verses 2 through 9. You can see the page numbers for the Pew Bibles, your smart devices, your own Bibles, but it is always our practice, out of a deep respect for both God and His Word, to please stand and follow along as I read this passage. Philippians chapter 4, verse 2, this is what we read. Paul says, I plead with Euodia, and I plead with Syntyche to agree with each other in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you, loyal yoke fellow, or in a newer translation of the NIV, true companion, help these women who have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. And here's the key verses. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Oh Lord, as we address this topic of worry and anxiety, may we cast all of our anxiety upon you. Why? Because not only do you care for us, but you love us deeply. And for that, we're grateful. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. So in our passage, Paul identifies two ladies who are in deep conflict in the church in Philippi. We know it's pretty serious because he mentions it in a very public public letter. This is not a good situation. Paul knows who these ladies are because he had ministered with them when he had been there previously. They're good ladies, they're good-hearted ladies, but they're in conflict with each other. And so Paul says, ladies, give it up. Do what's right. Represent the church well to the outside community. Be a good example to others in the church. Let go of all of these things that you are quibbling about, your personal interests, your personal disappointment. Paul asks a person in that church to be a mediator. He's called true companion, or as I said in an earlier version of the NIV, loyal yoke fellow. Now, there's debate whether that's the actual name of the person or not. If it is the actual name, yoke fellow or companion, Paul is playing upon the meaning of this person's name by adding true or loyal to his name. But in any case, Paul shows wisdom here. He's not getting in the middle of this because he's not there. He doesn't know all of the ins and outs. So he's showing wisdom, and he's asking true companion or loyal yoke fellow to mediate this situation. And then he mentions Clement, who only appears here in the Bible along with other fellow workers. These other fellow workers, they're not mentioned, but God knows who they are. He knows how they have served, and they have served well, and their names are written in the book of life. Now, when Paul says to rejoice in the Lord, this is no flippant or empty phrase. On the contrary, it represents faith in the Lord who makes rejoicing, even in the midst of difficult circumstances, a wonderful, fabulous, awesome possibility. So no matter what circumstances we may be going through, no matter how difficult they may be, take joy in who God is and what He has done for us through Christ. And this is an important point because Paul mentions it earlier in Philippians chapter 3, verse 1. Then Paul gives an encouragement that speaks of the way the church is to present itself to the outside world. And it's summed up in the word gentleness. Be gentle. And what is meant by gentleness? It's a spirit or a willingness, a choice to yield, not cave in, but to yield to a difficulty. It represents a refusal on our part to retaliate after we have been attacked. And this is a visible objective manifestation of the joy of the Lord. We are to do this all the more in light of Christ's impending return. And Christ is going to return, make no mistake. That return is happening, it's going to happen, and it's getting closer moment by moment, day by day, week by week, month by month, year by year, and generation by generation. And then we get to the heart of this passage, anxiety, the focus of this morning's message. It is now addressed by Paul. Why is anxiety a problem? Why is it a problem? Being ruled by anxiety is to be self-focused and consumed by worry, and that's not productive. It betrays a lack of trust in God's ability to care for each and every one of us. Paul tells us to pray when we are worried and anxious. When we lay all of our concerns before God's throne of grace, He will free us from our burdens. Now think about it. Are anxiety and prayer compatible? No, of course they're not. No, they cannot coexist. That would be a logical inconsistency, and the reason is because Paul asks us to pray when we are worried. They cannot coexist. And he further says that prayer should be offered with an attitude of thanksgiving. And when we're thankful about what God has provided for us and given to us, we're less likely to be anxious. We're less likely to worry. We see next what the results of prayers and petitions offered by God with thanksgiving will be. We're told that God's peace will fill our very being. And this peace is not simply a psychological frame of mind. Instead, it is an inner state based on the knowledge that God loves us through Christ and that He's forgiven us of our sins. It fills us when we commit or release all of our cares to God in prayer, worrying about them absolutely no longer. And we're also told that this peace is beyond anything that we could possibly understand. It's not something that we can get from this world. The world cannot give us the peace that we're talking about here. It can give us a cessation from conflict, but it can't give us that inner quality of peace. And we're told that this peace is going to guard our hearts as if a military person, like a military person who's guarding someone that's under his charge to protect. And then finally, in order to keep God's peace in our hearts and rid ourselves of anxious or destructive thoughts, we must reflect on what is good and what is true. We must then act upon it. You see, Paul understands human nature. He understands the things that we constantly think about, that's what's going to eventually direct our behavior. This is where the battleground is going against culture and against the forces of evil. It's up here. So do we have control of our thoughts? Do we look to the things that are noble and good and right and pure and lovely and admirable that Paul talks about in our passage? And this list is not exhaustive. And then Paul finally says, Philippians, follow me. Now, that some might take that as an arrogance on Paul's part, but it's not. He says, follow me as I follow Jesus. And what's the end result? The God of peace will be with you. So Paul's advice regarding anxiety is to petition God with grateful hearts. We are to petition God with grateful hearts. Now, I have a confession to make. It's not been my natural inclination when I'm dealing with difficulties or circumstances that are unpleasant or relationships that are strained or ministry issues. It's not my natural inclination to drop to my knees. It's been more along the lines of I worry about and fret about. You all, I think, know what I'm talking about. Late at night, you think about this thing and you turn it over and over in your head, and you think that I think that in my infinite wisdom, I can figure out how to proceed. And that's not really whatever happens. What happens usually is you make it bigger than it really is. Especially it happens at 3 o'clock in the morning, I have found. Not always, but much of the time, this problem really isn't as big as I may have thought or I had envisioned in the middle of the night as I fretted about it. Think about all the emotional energy expending and worrying, being anxious, was wasted. It was all for naught. Now, there are times when there are real issues that you have to deal with. There are times when God's trying to get your attention and it's legitimate, and he may want to talk to you in the middle of the night, as he has, I think, with me. I don't hear an audible voice, you know, don't worry. But does this sound remotely familiar to any of you? Do I hear some hands about this? Okay. Those of you who didn't raise your hand, you're in denial. But when I begin to worry about something for which I have no control, and it's obvious I have no control over it, it's not the situation is not of my poor decision making, and I have no control over it, I just literally say, instead of worrying about it, I just literally say, God, I can't deal with this right now. I cannot deal with this. I'm going to let you take it. I cannot worry about this, otherwise I'll go crazy. I can't think about it right now. The Bible has numerous beings under Jesus. Here's a mighty hand that he may lift you up in due time. What does the next phrase say? Say it with me. Cast all your anxiety on me, for he cares for you. Jesus reminds us in Matthew 6, 33 through 34, but seek first his kingdom, and all of these things will seek first his kingdom and righteousness, and all of these things will be given to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. That prayer I just shared with you, that's not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and what will he do? He will make your paths straight. So why don't we immediately turn to prayer when faced with difficulty? So, well, here's top 10 reasons we are too distracted or anxious to pray today. The first one is this. You wake up feeling rested, but then you realize that your alarm should have gone off 1 hour earlier. Yeah, I hear some nervous laughter. Your spouse is away on a two-day business trip that has lasted all week. That's a tough one. None of the clean clothes you were able to find match. When it is the school year, and our kids are trying to get ready for, that is a morning daily occurrence. I can't find the other sock. I can't find the shorts I want. Your teenager shaved, well, the left side of his head. Your bills are due, and your toddler hid the checkbook. A strange fluid is dripping from your vehicle. You accidentally deleted your quarterly report 10 minutes before your meeting with your superior. You're in charge of games for the church youth event tonight. That one could probably be more anxiety-producing than anything. Your dog threw up on your new carpet. And then the last one, your toilet's overflowing, but at least you have found the checkbook your toddler has hidden. Now, here's a list of the top 10 reasons we really should pray. See the above list. Am I right? Absolutely. Now, on a more serious note, a book called Worry Less, Live More by Robert J. Morgan, a pastor, illustrates the fact that our culture is dealing with this whole topic of anxiety and worry. Morgan says that Amazon.com and their ebooks are able to track when we highlight something. So if you've ever read an ebook, you can actually electronically highlight a passage in the ebook. Amazon actually is able to track that. And so they have come out with a list of the most highlighted passages in books like The Hunger Games or the Harry Potter series, or even books that are more classics like Pride and Prejudice. And they also released the most highlighted verse in the Bible. Now, we would think maybe it's John 3:16, for God so loved the world, or Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, or maybe even Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 13, the Lord's Prayer. But do you know what the single most highlighted, flagged, marked verse in all of Scripture, according to Amazon, when people mark it in their ebooks? Anyone want to guess? It's from our passage. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So what this tells us is that people perceive the difficulties of life as unrelenting. Sometimes they're more extreme than they are at a particular other time, but they're unrelenting. And then we're tempted to think that somewhere out there in the future is the promised land, a time when I will be problem-free. Maybe you're thinking it's retirement, or maybe it's when you move or you switch. Somewhere out there it's going to be problem-free. Don't get sucked into that mindset, because it is a trap and it is absolutely not true. That future does not exist. It's a pipe dream. And as a result, when we, not if, but when we are confronted with difficult or unpleasant circumstances, what is our initial reaction? Do we succumb to the stress, the worry, the anxiety, or do we drop to our knees, casting all of our cares upon Him? I believe that if we remain faithful to God, lifting our requests to Him with thankful, grateful hearts, He will fill us with His peace, which transcends all understanding. And experiencing this peace may not be instantaneous, but it will arrive according to God's timing, guaranteed. And you may be saying, I prayed that. I haven't received that peace. Keep at it. And eventually, if it doesn't come sooner, it will come later. Again, guaranteed. And this will result in greater simplicity in our lives. Now, to ensure peace remains a constant in our hearts, we are also to fill our minds with what is true, what is noble, what is right, what is pure, what is lovely, what is admirable, as verse 8 tells us. For me, this means being very careful about what I watch, movies, television shows, printed materials. It could be the internet, could be social media. I need to be a gatekeeper to my mind for anything that would detract my relationship with the Lord. And I know what I'm about to say is borderline legalism, but I wanted to give you an example of what I'm talking about. Deadpool and 40 Shades of Grey. I have not seen these movies, but as a pastor, I have read about them. I don't care if they're entertaining or not. The message and the images and the language and the themes are not true, noble, right, good, admirable, and lovely. They're just not. Call me a legalist, but I want to give an example of what I'm talking about. And so for me, it means reading Scripture. It means spending time with the Lord in prayer, devotionals. For me, it means listening to Christian music. I'm not saying don't listen to secular music. Let's fill our minds with some positive messages from radio stations like Caleb. What's their byline? Positive, encouraging. And I can't overstate how listening to Christian music has helped sustain me, especially in recent years. And so, brothers and sisters in Christ, life, oh, it's complicated and difficult enough as it is, without adding the burden of worry and anxiety and fretting. And we can effectively cope with life's pressures if we resolve to immediately, knee-jerk reaction, drop to our knees and pray. And with grateful hearts, we can now resolve to implement this very simple anxiety-reducing truth. Billy Graham has said this: heaven is full of answers to prayers for which no one ever bothered to ask. Let's bother to ask, even right now in this moment. I am willing to bet that every single one of us has in mind something that is anxiety-producing to you, and I want us to just spend a few moments in prayer lifting that to the Lord. So let's bow our heads. Let's close our eyes and let us think about that thing that is creating stress or anxiety or fretting or worrying. And instead of turning it over in our heads and having it be a troubling thought and ruining the rest of our day, lift it to the Lord. Lift it to the Lord and say, Lord, I can't, but you can. Take a few just that. Well, Lord, and that is true. I can't, but you can, and help us to lift to you the things for which we have no control. Help us to trust you with the outcome. We pray this.